Life has a way of changing in an instant, and sometimes the most important moments only reveal themselves in unexpected ways and when we're truly paying attention. That was the case for Rhiannon Hines as she embarked on a restorative trip to Bali with her mother. Already in a good enough relationship, Rhiannon's soulmate literally walked into her life, and well, her whole world changed in an immense way, filled with both beauty and pain. Rhiannon Hines is a well-known channeler and best-selling author, and in this episode, she joins us for a powerful conversation about breaking free from the quiet trap of being happy enough and stepping fully into the guidance of your intuition, your greatest inner power. We'll also dive into her transformational healing work through Intuitive Rebirth, her flagship program that's empowering a new wave of healers to change lives and build thriving practices in the world of energy work. Rhiannon reminds us of the infinite love we already are and how to let go of what's holding us back so we can open up to the truth of who we're here to be. You're in for something special today, so let's get into it. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome, Rhiannon. I'm so excited that we're here together. We're back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And I'm super excited that we have found a date and time to meet. You're in Australia. So while it's evening for me in Chicago, it's morning time for you. So thank you so much for making this happen and creating space in your day to be here and share what you're up to in your corner of the world.
Thanks, Maureen. It's so beautiful. So beautiful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful way for me to kind of round about my day and to sit in the calm of this space that I'm in and slow down a little bit and really share the space and get into some really great topics. You had emailed me, it's probably a few months ago now, and we had the connection of Jessica Snyder and you being on her show and meeting her. And I think we have that connection of Ariana Mesplay too. I always love to kind of, bring about the connections because they're growing. And it's just so beautiful to see all the interweavings that are happening. And that we across the world, we get this opportunity now to know each other and to be blessed by each other's presence. I mean, I never would have dreamed any of this was possible. I don't know about you.
Yeah, and I think the fact that there were, there's two connections with beautiful Jessica and Ariana that this meeting had to happen. There was no avoiding this meeting because the divine interweaving had covered all bases, So it is incredible synchronicity.
It is so true. When you first reached out, I was taken because you immediately in your email had jumped into a story in your life. And I think it's a pretty magical place to start if you're comfortable starting there. But that was when I believe you were maybe at a retreat, but you said, I was doing a juice fast. I was out on a bench and all of a sudden your life changed. And I invite you to share whatever parts of the story feel right to you because I think that it feels like, because of some other things you shared in that email, that it really was an integral moment in your life that shaped what was to come in many ways.
Yeah, I'd love to share that story. So, the reason I want to share this story is because sometimes in this human experience, we feel like we've got to figure everything out and that we've got to carve out opportunities and we've got to work hard to open doorways. And the reason I want to share this story is just to remind everybody listening how deeply everything is taken care of. So I live in Western Australia, so we're about a 3-hour flight from Bali. So Bali is our our go-to. Bali to us is closer than any other Australian city. So we go to Bali a lot here in Western Australia. And I was in a relationship. This is about 8 years ago. I was in a relationship that I had settled for. Not because this man wasn't a good man, he was a beautiful man, but I had become cynical and skeptical of love. And I didn't feel true love, or I didn't know if we would ever get married, but I'd accepted that there was a union there that was enough for me, and there was a friendship, and we supported one another. And he was stable, and he had money, and he had his shit together. He had no elevated consciousness at all. He saw physical matter only. And there was a massive gap in the meeting of our consciousnesses, and to be honest with you, the meeting of our hearts as well. But I had just allowed that to be because he did bring so many miracles into my life. This man gave me the courage to start my own yoga studio. He told me that I could create anything that I wanted to in this really like 3D way, right? He gave me courage. And I was grateful for those blessings. But also, there was a lot of destructive behavior in that relationship, a lot of partying. And I was very spiritually open and aware and very drawn to altered states of consciousness. But it was had reached a tipping point in my life where it was dangerous for me to go into altered states of consciousness because I was already psychic, I was already open. I was entering a dangerous point where I needed to be careful who I was with, what I was doing. And it was like part of me knew that, but also part of me just continued to choose the reality that I was in, which was very compartmentalized. So my mom was concerned, I think, about my life and about my choices. And my mom said to me, "Rihanna, let's go to Bali and do a juice fast." And I was like, "Okay, sure, let's go to Bali." So this was a very spontaneous trip, and we just went to Bali. So although my life was very destructive in many ways, it was also like I was deeply into yoga. I had a yoga business. I was really on the spiritual path. I was so like a juice fast in Bali in Ubud was like, yes, let's do it. So my mum and I, we went and we stayed in Ubud, which is like the spiritual mecca of Bali, where there's just amazing yoga studios and vegan cafes, and we were just in our element, my mum and I. And there's this place called the Yoga Barn. And it's like an outdoor jungle oasis of like multi-level yoga studios. I think there's like five shalas dotted around, all vegan cafes, bean bags, and it's just heaven for anyone
Yeah,
like you.
paradise.
It's pure paradise, pure paradise. There's like 17 classes a day on the timetable, from sound healing to breath work to power yoga, like whatever you want. And mum and I just, we threw ourselves in and we were having a great time. And I went and did a power yoga class because that was my thing at the time. Was it power yoga class? It was a class that my mum didn't want to do. It was a class that my mum didn't want to do. And I walked out of this class after finishing and I saw my mum sitting on a bench talking to a man. And I went over and sat at this bench and I looked at this man and he was the hottest thing I'd ever seen. Like, not in like a typical way, but in my being. Like I had never felt such primal attraction to someone. And I was like, shit, you know, I just sat in that reflection of him. And as he spoke, he was watching the same show as me, which was Greg Braden on Gaia, this show called Missing Links, which no
Okay.
You know, my boyfriend at the time was not watching Missing Links, you know, and he was watching the same episode. And just we spoke, and he was grounded. He had his stuff together. He was knowledgeable about investing, and but then speaking about Missing Links and at the yoga barn. And I was just like, oh my goodness, my body was just like vibrating with how good he was. And my mum is very like high integrity. She would be the sort of mum to say, "Rhiannon has a boyfriend, you know." Yeah, you know, she,
Yes.
but she didn't. She just sat silent. She just sat. So Scott said to me, "Who's this guy? What are you up to?" And I said, "Well, tomorrow I'm going to Kundalini yoga at 7." And he said, "Well, Kundalini is not my thing. I won't see you there." But lo and behold, who walks into Kundalini yoga at 7? Scott. And then from that moment, we just spend the whole week together, basically him, myself, and my mum. And I did fall in love with this man just through friendship and connection and just this like spark of primal attraction that I couldn't act upon. It was very amazing week. And then we said goodbye to Scott, and Mum and I went to Canggu, which is like the touristy place without the magic in Bali. And my dad and my boyfriend were coming to meet my mum and I in Canggu.
Wow.
And when my boyfriend got out the car, my heart just dropped, and I was like,
Wow.
oh no. And he knew something was wrong, and he had brought a ring. He'd asked
Oh.
my dad if he could propose, and I was like, I cannot, I cannot. And I sent him back home. I broke up with him, and I messaged Scott. I was like, where are you? I'm coming. And then 5 weeks later, I was pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
Like 10 months later, we were married, and now Scott, yeah, this is my husband. We have two kids together.
That's amazing. I'm struck by the divine timing of that all. And just your mom, you know, these things that are so, oh, my mom just asked me for a juice fast. And just that sometimes when we say yes to something, we have no idea what's going to be, what's next. And you know, didn't your life and how that our life can take these different timelines even. And just, I mean, how do you feel about that? Like that these thing timelines in general, I'm sure I'm fascinated by the idea of them and that, you know, you make one move that takes you that way. And it's like, wow, you're off to the races.
That's exactly it. And at the time, well, a woman who's always been in my life, actually a very good friend of mine, she's an incredible tantra teacher. Her name's Chantel, and she's a force. She's a force, and she was also knew my mum, and she wanted to stage an intervention. She thought that my relationship was that destructive. She was ready to go full intervention mode.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because my mum trusted and said, I think it's going to be okay, you know? And my mum was right. Because, yes, some people, if they're not on the path, they do need an intervention. You know, if they're not asking for divine support, perhaps that is necessary. But actually, we're always being intervened with. There's always intervention. And it happens in a way that is so spectacularly perfect that all we need to do is get out of our own way. And you're right, Maureen, there are opportunities to jump timelines. But in order to jump timeline and to enter a higher possibility of what we can experience within our lifetime, we have to walk through the fire of an initiation. So an opportunity will be presented to us by the divine, and it's going to be uncomfortable. So in my case, it was walking away from stability, my dog, my apartment, all of that stuff, and jumping into this unknown. You know, is it going to work out with this guy? I have no idea. Am I delusional? Jump. And it takes courage and it's uncomfortable. And I described all the magic of that story, but in that story, there was actually a lot of pain and a lot of uncertainty and a lot of heartache. And that was my initiation. And because I accepted it, I was on a whole new path, a whole new trajectory. And Scott and I co-create together in like fast track timing. But equally, I could have said no. And most people who aren't on the path, they say no to the initiation and they stay exactly where they are on that same trajectory.
And do you believe that when that happens, when you stay on that same trajectory, that life will then come back with another presentation and another opportunity, typically?
Continually.
Continually.
Continually. There is an orchestration of perfection from this great divine mother, I'm going to call it, because it's the creative energy of the interwoven connectiveness. It's this feminine energy. She loves all of her children relentlessly, continually, unwaveringly, and she will not leave them alone. And her signs will be when you listen closely and you're really on the path, the sign will be a tickle, like on the cheek with a feather. Like that's not working anymore. Like our conversation before, right? Before we recorded that I'm not running any retreats right now. The tickle on the feather is like, that doesn't work for you right now. But when we're not listening, the tickle is the cancer diagnosis. It's the car accident. It's the big life-altering things that pull at the fabric of our entire reality. And they're the blessings that this divine feminine energy brings into our world to keep recorrecting us.
And it feels like too, when we, I think of myself when I had my own cancer diagnosis, that there was so much waking up that I did and went through, and so many realizations, and so many, and I go down the path and go down the path that was 7 years ago now. And yet, and still, some things come through in my body as diagnoses of a much lesser kind. But, you know, then I think to myself, like, wow, this is so fascinating to me that it's still coming back. It's still got messages for me. It still has, it's inviting me in a beautiful way to awaken even more. And sometimes in a human self, I might say, gosh dang it, like I don't understand. Why me? Why? But then if I look at it with a different lens and I see, like, no, it's this beautiful opportunity. And for me to discover my light even more and more. And I just love the conversation with you because that's what we're all here to do. And this uncovering, you know, a lot of people are using the word remembering now, but really getting into that we are the light, we have something here to offer. And it's just coming together as a collective to do this work as well. So thank you for being a guide and a mentor in that awakening process for so many, for humanity, for yourself, for your family.
You're welcome, and thank you too.
Yeah.
And sorry, go on, Maureen.
Well, you know, I think that we're kind of weaving back and forth, but how you had said in your letter to me, you know, and then there was something that you realized about, there was a part of you that was good enough with what you called happy enough, and that that is a choice and a way to live. But what became kind of loud around that or important to you, or what did you see in the Rhiannon who was in this relationship that was happy enough? And there was, you know, life was fine. But what did you learn when something else was presented?
Yeah, so sometimes we can't actually consciously feel that the level of happiness that we're experiencing is limited. We're not aware of that because of our veils of perception. We are existing in a veil of perception where we are happy. We are happy, so we're not looking to increase our level of happiness because, according to the lens of our reality through that veil of perception, we're there. And that is why no one, everyone is living in a state of perceived truth, always. No one knows that they're living any kind of falsity until a veil is lifted, someone is thrusted into a higher dimension of ultimate truth. And then on reflection, it's like, aha, I wasn't happy, or that wasn't the truth, or whatever. So, what happens is in our life, we're forced to feel traumas, contractions, misalignments, fears within our body. And as we heal and shed that within our body, veils are lifted and perceptions broaden. So those two go hand in hand, right? So as I was at the yoga barn, I was crying, right? A lot. I was doing a lot of healing. I was doing a lot of breath work. I was moving a lot of trauma, I haven't had a highly traumatic life, and yet I was holding on to so many fear-based programs of unworthiness within my body. And as I was feeling them and moving through them, I would then wake up and open my eyes, and the paradigm that I existed in looked different. So after a full week of doing that, when I saw my then boyfriend, he looked different. He didn't look like happiness. He didn't look like alignment. He hadn't changed, but I had changed. And I had done that by accessing deeper layers of truth within my own body to move and lift the veil of reality of my perceived outward perception, right? So, like for you, Maureen, with cancer diagnosis being at the forefront of your awakening, it's like that cancer diagnosis would have taken you inward, into the body. And then when we ask the question of whatever it is that's coming up, whether it's physical disease, emotional heaviness, whatever it is that's coming up, it's showing us where we're not free. It's showing us where we are bound, limited, stuck. So it pulls us inward so we can see where we're not yet free, so we can liberate ourselves internally, so that the veils can lift externally, and we can see a higher truth.
It feels like that becomes a life of deep curiosity and really different way, a new way of being with ourself and holding ourself and being so curious when anything shows up, either in our body or our mind or our emotions. I think it's so highly, I know in the United States, just of course it is. I mean, with all the conditioning and societal, but this renaissance that's happening now, where this information is becoming more available to us, being talked about on podcast and shared. I mean, we never really considered our bodies before. In fact, most of us were going through life cursing it for the many reasons. It was like such total disconnection and really devastation to our body. So I love that work and what you're talking about is reorienting us. And I was thinking about how you call the program that you've been running for a while intuitive rebirth, but that this is what this conversation right now and what's coming out of me is reminding me of this rebirth, and it's this new opportunity to get to know oneself. And you just talk about that or what that means to you and why rebirth became so important to you.
So we're not just healing ourselves right now, right? We're not just healing ourselves so that we can have more money and have a better house and be more fit and healthy and have better relationships. I mean, all of these things are great, right? But what is happening on a collective level is that the earth, not as a physical dense planet, the earth as a dreamscape reality is rebirthing itself. Right? It's rebirthing itself. And all of humanity is doing that with her, with it. And we do that through our own bodies. We give birth to ourselves, to a higher, more true, more divinely crystallized being. And ultimately, there is one way that this happens. It expresses in many different healing sessions, many different plant medicine journeys, whatever, in an infinite number of differences, but ultimately it's all one and the same, which is that when we are anchored in love, unconditional love, which is our organic true nature, right? It's just who we are. We don't need to get more love, receive more love, become more love. We just are love, right? So as we anchor in that, what happens is we become energy transformers for fear. So if you take this vision of a crystalline, pure human being fully in their light body, they are unconditional love. And they become like a magnet for the dark and the distorted, for entities, for fear-based frequencies. They become a magnet because all of these fear-based frequencies are ready to be transmuted. They've run their course. And this magnet, this light field magnet draws in fear-based entities and can just bring them into their being and effortlessly, graciously transmute them back to love in a single instant with zero effort. So as we enter our light bodies, all of a sudden we go into a room, a haunted house, We don't need to protect ourselves from the haunted house. The haunted house chose us to come in so that we can purify and alchemize the energy back to love. So
Beautiful.
that's on the micro level, right? But on the macro level, we are being trained and initiated to alchemize all of our own fears back to love so that we can alchemize the collective fears back to love. So that this dreamscape earth realm can rebirth itself from a fear-based distorted reality back
Yeah,
to
I love
a
that.
love,
Yes,
right? Love.
yes, yes. And so, what are you finding in that work where this is the work that you're doing with people and that how one life can affect another life so much in sharing the rebirthing they're doing? And, you know, how does someone who this is new to, maybe someone who knows there's more or is curious, but and you talk about the light body, where do we even begin for a listener that's because I have people in my life who I know are conscious but may not understand this part of themselves.
Yeah, so we're only ever guided to transmute what we're ready to transmute. So I've just spoken about the ultimate rebirthing of all, right? But let's just pull back. We're only ever guided to transmute what we need to transmute. So none of us have to process all of the earth's fears through our own body right now. Well, unless we're guided to, right? And some of us are being guided to that now, right?
Yeah, okay.
But what we will feel within our own body is the frequency of what we are ready to transmute, fear. And usually these fears are triggered within our body by external triggers. External triggers, right? So you're scrolling, whatever, and there's just some horror about Gaza, some horror about whatever, all the tr just the The trauma and the hideousness of the world, and it triggers something within your body. Beautiful, because we are all one, right? We are all one. And it's not that you have to obsess around feeling it all in your body, but whatever's been triggered is yours to feel. It's your own fear. It's your own fear, right? So you sit with that and you ask the fear, show me where I'm not yet free. And what most of us try to do with fear or any kind of uncomfortable energies, we try and push it away, which is an act of fear. And what is the energy that transmutes all? It's love. And how do we act in love for whatever energy arises? We just allow. So we say, okay, fear, be here. Okay, I allow. Okay, I'm not trying to change this. And we just breathe it and we allow. And what do? We love it. It will go. So it doesn't matter how, I'm using the word fear, but fear is anxiety. Fear is the depression, the fear that life will never be good enough, the fear that this day will never be enough. Fear is none of my friends are messaging me, fear that I'm not, it's all fear, right? It's all fear-based frequency that expresses as shame, rage, sadness, whatever. It's all the one. When we feel it in our body, we just breathe with it, and we allow, and we allow, and we give it sound. Oh, okay, fear. Okay, and we just give it sound, and that's a radical act of self-love.
Oh, it is. It's beautiful. I love it too. It's such a corollary too. I see, you know, in the coaching world, a lot of people will use something like internal family systems now. And there's different access points, right? Of inviting that fear, inviting these places within us to the table, these parts of us, and really it is this allowance and the acceptance and the love. And I like how your example in the breathing through it and accessing, there's something that you're doing and suggesting that is you can access the love within you in order to speak to the fear.
All we need to do to access is create space. It creates space. And the reason that these things come up in sessions, no matter what the technique is that the practitioner is doing, is because there's the
Yes,
space.
so true.
And spaciousness is the container that we have to create for ourselves. And most of us don't do that. But the invitation is, okay, what would I notice about my internal processes if I just created space? So that's just sitting on the grass in the garden or sitting in your bedroom on the rug, with no time limit or no distractions, and just noticing what's there in your body. Noticing what's there in your body. And now here's the thing. When we give it a story, this is because my mom did this. This is because my friend did this. This is because when I was a child. And I do agree that there are access points that allow us to go there. Ultimately, the energy just is, and it doesn't matter what the trigger point was from this lifetime, because more than likely there was a trigger point from a previous lifetime. There was a trigger point that's so ancient that you're not going to be able to consciously remember it. So just feel the energy. But just feel the energy with no need to decipher it, because we don't need to come back into our minds. It's just the energy. It's just energy in motion. And just breathe into it and go inside. Inside. Imagine if you could take your vision, your awareness inside. So say there's a trigger, right? The trigger is your kids are really annoying today. Your kids are just pushing your buttons today, right? This is an easy one because it's the innocence of children. We know it's not the kids. We know it's us, right? So we go sit and we be with that frustration and we breathe into that frustration and we give it a sound. And then our throat, it becomes open and there's this clear channel for moving energy when we give it a sound. Oh, our throat becomes open. And if you keep breathing inside, like you could fold inward to go into a deeper realm within the realm within the realm, then what we find is the root of the fear, the root of the frustration. And then that is where we start to do the collective work that I spoke about before. Because actually, as human souls, we have been hijacked and sabotaged by anti-life forces. And these anti-life forces have been interfering with the divine sacred mission of humanity for eons. The divine sacred mission to be remembering the truth of who we are as eternal peace and love, right? That divine sacred mission. So these anti-life forces have been interfering for eons. And we are not separate from our ancestors. We are not separate from all our previous experiences as souls and future experiences. And we're not separate from one another. So therefore, as we go inward, we start at the trigger, we go into the energy, we go in and we go in and we go in, we get to the root, which is the root of the sabotage, the root of the fear. Where did fear come to intercept this paradise anyway? And then in going into that point and feeling it, that's when in the sessions that we do in intuitive rebirth, where we see these roars or these cries that are, you could never say, oh, that's because of this experience. It's so ancient. It is so big. And it is the scream of all of humanity saying, enough, enough. Like, I remember I am done. And when that scream rises up from the root, that is liberation. That is the rebirthing process of fear transmuting through the body.
It's such beautiful imagery of that breakthrough that happens. And then the laying down, or just, I guess it feels like a transmutation of the energy that existed. And then do you have visions, or it feels like of so many people going through this process. And then what is happening for the collective then is the vibration rising. Like, what are you feeling or seeing that's happening in the world? Because it's not the story we're told.
Yeah, exactly. So what I see happening in the world is that we're waking up to the true nature of this dreamscape. And we have been deceived into a false perception of what the earth is, obsessing over its physicality. Is it round? Is it flat? What if it just is a dream? What if there is no physicality? Because what, no matter what your belief is, you will find evidence to prove it to be true. You will find the evidence because that is the nature of the dream, reflecting back to us our veils of perception, right? It's a dreamscape birthed into form as a playground of individualized consciousness to remember and wake up to the infinite, eternal peace and love that they are. Right?
Well, it's a masterpiece. I mean,
It's a masterpiece.
it surely is.
So if you feel, Maureen, that you are living in a different world to what you were 10 years ago, to what your neighbor lives in, it's because you are. It's because you are. And we, as creator beings who are becoming attuned to the frequency of love, which is our truth, we are eventually going to completely transmute the fear-based paradigm through our bodies and live in a true earth paradise, right? In a true earth paradise. So these people have spoke about this in the past, but if you try and perceive that through a realm of physicality, it will be confusing and it won't make sense. But when you perceive what I'm saying through the realm of frequency, you will know that that is true in your heart because you'll feel how much you have rebirthed your own existence since the start of your spiritual awakening. And the thing is, as well, it's like we need to let go of all notions of physical matter when it comes to our perception of the earth. The help that we need from multidimensional beings, we don't look to the stars. There's a reason it's called space, and that's because the dark controllers want you to perceive that the help exists separate from you in space, through linear space. Let go of the stars as physical matter. They are a divinely orchestrated astrological roadmap to assist us in this temporary navigation of linear time, right? Through here, through this inner realm of eternal truth, we can access all of the other multidimensional beings of light who are here to assist us, that exist for the sole purpose of assisting us.
Wow. Yeah. It's also exquisite. And I loved what you said before, too, that wherever someone is where they need to be. And on that road to the awakening or the awareness or their own personal evolution. And that's why I love conversations like this, too, because anything in any way that you've just shared can the plant a seed that we don't know when it's going to grow. It might grow immediately for somebody and begin to water, or to just, bloom, or it may take 5 years, or it may take another lifetime. I'm not sure, but it's here. The messages are here, and that reminder of that stepping away from all the conditioning of what we, the veils and the perceptions and the, it seems, I can imagine to a listener too, it's seeming so big as well, because I believe it's that big offering of like, this is this way to see what's in front of us. And then what do you think are practical ways for someone to begin grounding in that? If it's something that is music to their ears and they're like, well, how do I start to go in? I know one thing that you shared, Rhiannon, in another podcast I saw you in was you knowing that the heart was always a portal for you to access, I think, connection. But are there grounded ways that people can begin to connect with themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So if what I've just spoken about, what I just spoke about was really big energy repatterning of like deep programs, so it like can make your hair twitch a little, right? Which is fair enough. But the grounded reality is that we are dreamscape multidimensional beings.
Yes,
That
yeah.
is the grounded
I love
reality and the grounded truth,
that. I
right?
love that. Yes.
So we also need to rewrite our perception of what it is to ground.
Yes.
We're
Yes.
not disconnecting from these higher truths, but we are walking, breathing, and living as them. And then the daily practice is life, right? The daily practice is life. It's all ceremony, all of it. From the moment you wake up, the moment you go to sleep, and through your dreams,
Yeah.
this is a ceremony of remembering. So the only practice is to have or to begin to cultivate the awareness of what I just said,
Yes. Yeah.
of life being ceremony, right? So what I mean by that is that as you feel something in your body, train yourself to become aware. Okay, I'm starting to feel something in my body. I feel like I'm going to go through a veil lifting. I'm going to widen my perception. Okay, I allow this thing to be here. So that's the awareness piece that keeps us aware of life being this beautiful ceremony and stops us judging our experience with harshness. So, number one, step one is cultivate awareness of your day. That's it. Whenever you can try and remember, whenever things get a bit tricky, can you practice being aware of your experience? And then number two is feeling what it is, right? This is like the yin and the yang, the masculine, feminine. The masculine aspect is the awareness to see your experience as a greater part of this unfolding plan. But the feminine is what I described of that rebirthing. It's the feminine energy that rebirths us, right? So it's the feminine energy that needs to carve out space to sit on the ground, to feel, to give it sound. But if you don't have that masculine awareness that says it's all good, it's part of the ceremony, then we get stuck in this dark, sort of distorted feminine that's very whiny, whingy of her experience, feeling too much without having a higher awareness as to why. So, step one, cultivate the awareness. Your life is a ceremony. Step two, create space to feel and give it sound free from judgment. And then you ask Maureen about the heart, you know, the heart. This is where all those big, grander truths become embodied knowledge rather than attempted perceived understanding in the heart, right? When you can go inward to the heart, so what I mean by this is you take your awareness down into the inner space of your chest, take your awareness down to the inner space of your chest, the whole cavernous void within there. You'll notice that there are no barriers of your chest. The walls of your chest will dissolve and you'll be in the infinite space. And the color will be black. The color will be black. And then people are, I don't like this. I don't like it. It's black, right? But the night sky is black. And then through the black, if you ask for the truth beneath the black, a veil will crack. And it's as though the black is the dreamscape. Veil will crack and you'll be able to pierce through the fabric of that blackness to the infinite peace and light of complete oneness. And you will find all of that, not by looking out of your third eye, but by taking your third eye down and in.
Wow. That's profound. It's just the description you just gave of the heart space. And I had a guest on in the fall, Athena Harrell, and she had talked about the void. I forget exactly what she called it, but it was like going down into the heart, and just as you described it, and then seeing the sea of blackness, and it went on and on and on, and then entering that space where The
Oh, she
answers,
did.
yeah, the answers lie. It's escaping me at the current moment. She had taken a meditation and we put it to the side of the podcast, but I love your description of it and that what we can access through the heart. It's just, and what's breaking open in terms of this knowledge and wisdom around this intelligence that we have. And it's just like using that word again, it's exquisite. And it's all, when someone says you have all the answers, they all lie within you. That is deep. I mean, that we can understand that at one level and then beneath and again and again and again and just keep going. There is no end, it feels like.
It's the truest statement. It's the truest statement. It's all there. And it's not exclusive to one person and not another. It's for all of us.
Yeah.
As if we would be thrusted into this realm of perceived physicality with this mission without having a roadmap to tell
Yeah.
us exactly where we are and exactly what to do. And we have a roadmap externally, which is the stars in the sky, the moon and the sun, this perfect, spectacular, beautiful light show of wisdom that allows us to map linear time through astrology. We have that shown outside of us. A calendar in the sky of the day with the sun, the month with the moon, and the year with the stars.
That's beautiful.
And then within us, we have the roadmap to navigate the true nature of reality, which is beyond time.
Yeah. Well, I think that you've taken us on a journey today, and I've loved every minute and just the unfolding of so many different topics. And as I suspected, the script got flown out the
Oh,
But
good.
I thank you so much, Rhiannon, for you just bringing so much life to life and new language to the experience we're having as these spiritual beings on Earth. So I want to thank you. I tend to ask at the as we finish the podcast, if we've covered so many things, but sometimes if there's something coming through you that maybe feel juicy to leave with the listener, or just another kind of nugget that they can take with them, or something important for humanity at this time.
Yes, I do. There's just one word that just dropped in so strongly, and it's joy. Because it's great that we can have these really expansive conversations that like challenge our perception of this reality. But here we are living this day, after your listeners stop with this podcast, what are they going to do? They're going to do something with their day. And the day is the gift. The moment is the gift. And there's the line in the Lord's Prayer, which I just think is pure magic, which is give us this day our daily bread. And how we choose to receive this day is a choice. And we can choose joy. It's not to say that we don't have the layers of contractions that we need to feel and sit with. But we can still navigate our day through joy. What does my body want to do today? How do I want to laugh today? How do I want to dance? How do I want to be silly? How do I want to play like a child? And then the more we do that, the more we return to childlike wonder and just fall in love with this beautiful, beautiful life.
And bring us to life, bring life to us and bring us to life. That's a beautiful, beautiful parting statement. Thank you so much for being with us this week, Rhiannon. It's been a pleasure to be in conversation with you.
Thanks, Maureen. It's been so beautiful. Thank you for
Yeah,
having me.
of course, I'll share everything in the show notes, anything you want to share, and direct listeners to where they can find you. And thank you to the listeners for being here as always. We'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.